This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Wednesday, June 23rd. Well, the wheat markets were pretty much where the action was yesterday, and it was really centered on Minneapolis. We were sharply higher after the crop condition ratings came out, showing a sharp decline in good to excellent ratings, mostly across North Dakota. And that's not a huge surprise, but it was a pretty big drop of a good 10 points. And that is big for crop condition ratings on a week-to-week basis. So we had Minneapolis gapping higher, sharply higher, in fact, on Tuesday morning, but everything else was pretty flat. The winter wheat markets were higher, basically just being drug higher by Minneapolis. Corn market started out so-so and really couldn't get much going to the upside. In fact, the deferred started to buckle kind of early in the session and just continued to work their way lower. And the same thing with soybeans. The old crop for corn is doing fine. Basis levels are strong. Demand for old crop is very strong. In fact, as we get close to the delivery period, it's expected you're not going to see any deliveries in corn at all. So it is economical for exporters in particular, but even end users, to accept delivery. So it just doesn't pay to deliver. And cash markets are strong, basis is strong, so it's pretty much, you know, nobody's going to, you know, deliver into that kind of environment. For soybeans, a little bit different story, but it's we don't expect to see heavy deliveries there either. In wheat, it's unlikely, as you're seeing a great deal of the wheat coming off the combine going directly into the feedlots. As wheat cash prices are actually lower than corn prices across much of the western part of the central and southern plains, and that is going to go directly into feedlots. So, you know, we'll see USDA likely increase feed usage for wheat in the upcoming supply demand reports. But the bottom line is, of course, weather is the major driver here, and you do see some rains that have come through Iowa, Minnesota over last weekend, and they are still in the forecast as well. So that's going to keep the upside pretty much at bay. We're also seeing some rumblings from the government about changing the RFS rulings. Now, that, of course, that is a big deal as well. Refineries, many of them are way behind on their credits for blending, and that's still a hangover from the COVID issue, with major drop in driving and just major drop in fuel consumption. So now they're in a situation where they're asking the government to offer them some relief. Biden apparently is listening to them, and there is a fair amount of chatter in the marketplace that there will be some relief coming to the RFS standards, that they will lower the amount required to blend. And of course, that is a bearish development for corn and soybeans as well. And that was some of the drag on corn and bean prices yesterday, where corn, actually the deferreds of September and December actually ended up with an outside day lower. It wasn't a massive wipeout, but it was an outside day lower. So you open higher, kind of following along with wheat, and then you just not only can't hold the gains, but you end up taking out the previous day's low, and you actually close below that low. So it was a fairly bearish chart formation yesterday in corn and soybeans too, not really able to get much going. For beans, it wasn't an outside day lower, but it was a pretty quietly lower day. Really, the story is in wheat, and when you zero in on wheat, it's Minneapolis and it's spring wheat. And we don't see a lot of relief coming for the northern plains. The heat is going to return, and the rain is not. And so, you know, it has already become a very stressful growing season. We're only halfway through, roughly. It's not looking good to finish it off. And it's probably going to get finished off here pretty soon. So, unfortunately, yield estimates are declining rapidly for spring wheat here in the United States, and that would apply to Canada as well. We're also looking at the Black Sea region, where Kazakhstan, Central Russia, which is big spring wheat country, has endured similar weather issues, hot and dry, and not finding much relief for that. The winter wheat looks fine in Russia. In fact, we're looking at pretty big production coming out of Ukraine, which has had just rain event after rain event. They're looking probably at record yields there, and therefore record production as their acreage has continued to increase. And quite likely with winter wheat in Russia, good production coming out of the southern region. So that's where most of the exportable supplies come from. But we don't expect to see a lot of price pressure coming from there. Farmers have been really slow sellers of wheat, first of all. We are starting to see that pick up somewhat as we get closer to their harvest, which is about a month away at the most. So they need to be making room for this new crop. So that's starting to put some pressure on their cash market. But the exporter is really in a bind here. They don't have a clear price level at what the export tax is. So it's very difficult for them to offer wheat in the export market and knowing exactly what the price is going to be, because what they offer becomes part of the formula for estimating the tax. It's this circular issue that they've got going on that makes it very confusing and impossible really to know exactly what their tax is going to be. So they are in a bind as well. And so we don't expect to see a lot of export offers, at least initially, coming out of Russia. And I would think until the government feels comfortable with what production is, that they're not going to change that formula, nor the export tax for that matter. And now with the spring wheat issues going on there, that's probably going to firm up the government's opinion that they don't want to change that tax, at least in the near term. So that kind of elevates all boats, really, because Russia is always, they're the biggest exporter in the world for wheat. They're always undercutting everybody as much as they can and consistently pressuring world price when they have wheat available, which they will this year. They'll have plenty available, but it won't be aggressively being pushed into the export market. So that's going to really offer some relief to Ukraine, who might become the more aggressive seller, at least initially, but they only export a fraction of what Russia does or the U.S. does. So they would be a short-lived price pressure point in the market, probably late July, early August, as they get their harvest into the bins and into the pipeline. Europe is going to have a decent crop. I doubt that they will be offering that much price pressure, though. And here in the U.S., we're having an okay winter wheat crop, but most of it's going to the feedlots already. So basis levels have stayed strong, if not improved, in Kansas, even as the harvest is hitting its stride. So it's pretty impressive to see the cash market perform this way. And I don't see that changing. Once you get past Kansas, pretty much harvest pressure is behind us. Even coming up into the northern plains, where you could be looking at a pretty respectable Montana winter wheat crop, you're not looking at a big spring wheat crop across the northern plains and Canadian prairies. So I think harvest pressure is about to be relieved here very soon, probably around the 4th of July, because that's probably when you'll be through most of Kansas harvest. And so, you know, we're working our way through Kansas with great yields, great test weights, poor protein, ideal feed wheat, basically. But again, my point is we don't expect to see a lot more price pressure in wheat. At the same time, you've got this issue with spring wheat going on that is supporting the Minneapolis market, and I think ultimately will support the whole wheat complex. You also have corn and beans, of course, coming into their crucial growing phase of pollination here right in about 3 to 4 weeks. Weather is supposed to turn hot and dry again, or at least more dry. The heat hasn't quite been as intense as it was early in the growing season. It's going to come back to the northern plains and the western, it's still in the western third of the U.S., but as far as getting into the western Midwest, that's not really well defined in the weather forecast. If that were to happen, then I think you see that next leg up. But I do think we're still in a correction phase for corn and beans. Beans have pretty much completed that correction. We probably will come back down and test those lows again that were put in last week. For corn, we have yet to really complete the formation. And for corn, I would expect that we will at least test the late May low, probably take that out by 10, 20 cents. That would complete its formation as well. Just a broad ABC type of correction that sets us up for another leg up, which most likely would be the final move to the top side. If it's weather driven, it'll be fast and quick or short lived. If weather is okay and we get through pollination, then I think it's a matter of just the demand driven, the demand factor in this market reasserts itself as we get into harvest and supports that market even through harvest. We've seen China come back into the U.S. soybean market. They bought another 5 to 7 cargoes yesterday, so added on to Friday's purchase, they're already up to around 14 cargoes of new crop soybeans off the PNW. So demand is already there. We're already ready to take it as it comes off the combine. So we know that that part of the equation is still well intact. China is still buying aggressively, not so much old crop anymore, but they're in with both hands on new crop. So, you know, the demand market is still there. I expect it will be there for another year. And it just depends on what kind of production we get in these next few months. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to call at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.